I rise today to talk about the proposed automaker bailout. And I want to start by saying that I have tremendous empathy for all of the people involved right now. I spent most of my life in business. I'm sure that these CEOs and others that are leading these companies are going through tumultuous times, and I have empathized with them. Mr. President, I also, in my beginning period, was a card-carrying union member. And I know there are a lot of workers in this country that are very concerned about their future. And I have tremendous empathy for them, for their families. This is actually a very serious time in our country's history. And regardless of where you are, I think people are concerned about the future. I was just in other parts of the world last week. All around this world, people are concerned about the future. I do want to speak to the gentlelady from Maryland's comments regarding the financial component and say that many of the car dealers that have called into our office actually are far less concerned about, quote, the big three. What they're more concerned about is having financing for consumers that are coming into their dealerships. And like her, I want to see people throughout our country be able to operate their businesses. I'm certainly not here to defend any of the secretaries or anybody else. I will say that I did have a conversation yesterday with Secretary Paulson and with Federal Reserve Chairman Bernanke, and they are putting in place a facility to deal with consumer finance that hopefully will be in place by year end to help deal with some of the financing components that are stressing the automakers. I'd like to specifically, though, address the request by the automakers. I was privileged to be part of a hearing the other day in banking where the three CEOs and the leader of the United Auto Workers came and testified. And I'll have to tell you that I was really struck by the lack of coherence, the fact that we had three leaders in corporate America that I actually have a degree of respect for. I was in some ways embarrassed for some of them. They evidently had no plan. I think they felt like that in the Senate and in the House today, the time was good for receiving monies from taxpayers, and it was sort of get here while the getting is good, if you will. And it was really embarrassing to hear their testimony and the lack of thought that had been put into place as it related to their request. They had come up with a number of $25 billion. They were actually hesitant to tell us how, as a pact, the three of them had decided to divide this money up. After a lot of probing, we were able to get them to say that, well, they've decided to divide the money up based on their proportional share of the auto market here in our country. Mr. President, I pressed them to ask to find out if we did, in fact, agree to loan them this $25 billion, would that be it? And it was very evident that, no, this was just a down payment. And that they really had done nothing whatsoever to think about what might happen after the taxpayers invested in them. One of the questions I would like to ask is, why would we address these three automakers as some homogeneous group? They are three different companies. They're in three different circumstances. It's very interesting to me that the head of the United Auto Workers knows that they're in three different circumstances. And what he said was is that Ford is actually in good shape. They've made some tough decisions and done some things back in the year 2006 that have put them in place to actually survive. They've got about $23 billion of cash right now. He said he'd been in to look at the books, and Chrysler, believe it or not, was actually in second place. I would have thought that Chrysler actually would have been the weakest of the three. Their books are not public because they're a private company, but he laid out the fact that actually Chrysler was in a strong position, stronger position, but that GM was a company that was in more disarray. And so as we look at this, I find it so irresponsible that we would actually even talk about a rescue package looking at these companies as a group. They are three very different companies that have addressed their issues in three very different ways. And I find it incredibly irresponsible to even consider looking at them as a group. I wonder, in a market with 10 million cars being sold, why we need three domestic automakers. And I wonder whether we'd be better off if possibly we had two, or we had one that was really strong. But again, that's something that the market can decide. I think one of the greatest disservices that we could actually do to these automakers and to the many people who depend upon them for employment, whether they be direct employees or tier one or two suppliers, is just to grant them this money. I think that would be a major mistake. These companies have all kinds of legacy issues that they have not been able to deal with. Let me just point out one. General Motors has 7,000 dealers in this country. They probably need about 1,500 dealers. But what the dealers did years ago is they went around and got states to pass laws that said that GM could not do away with their dealership. We've had the strong dealers actually calling our office and telling us that they actually have hurt themselves by putting these state laws in place, because there's so many dealers that each of them are having trouble making a profit. It would be a tremendous disservice for us just to grant money to these companies without causing them to reorganize. There's something that we have in this country called bankruptcy protection. There's something that allows companies to go in and reorganize, to put their strengths in order, do away with their weaknesses, and actually carry on. And I do hope that as we debate this, I realize nothing is going to happen this week. This was kind of a pre-application, if you will, that we'll probably be dealing with this in January. But I do hope that that we will look at this in a mature way and realize that these companies have not done the things that they should have done, maybe that they could have done, and that possibly we can be of service to them by making them do the things that they need to do. Another example, Chrysler Company. They have a situation where when they idle a plant, they actually, in some cases, are obligated to pay the workers of those plants for up to 4 years beyond the time that the plant is idled. Now, I have to tell you, I don't know of any business in the world that can survive in a healthy fashion with those types of obligations. So, Mr. President, here's what I would say to you. I have tremendous empathy for the people involved. One of these companies has a plant in our state. But I would just say to my colleagues in the Senate, the worst thing that we could possibly do in this situation is to acquiesce to this request that lacked coherence, lacked thoughtfulness, lacked a plan as to how these companies would be successful into the future, and just let them go about their business in the way that they've been going about it. They will be back if this money is granted. And I just want to say that I hope that we will stand firm, that we will be responsible with our taxpayers' monies, and that even though I'm opposed to this, even if the money ends up being granted in some form or fashion, we will cause them to make the decisions that need to be made for them to actually be successful into the future. Mr. President, I thank you for this time. And I yield the floor.